Sergei stared at the photograph of his family. Ravenscroft flicked it with a finger.
Sergei?
The skull of Sidon is said to be the giver of all good things.
Ben replaced the photo in the desk drawer and closed it with a twist of his wrist.
All good things. That covers quite a lot, wouldn't you say? A man could do remarkable things with such an object.
Aren't your charitable contributions satisfying enough?
You are in no position to question my motives. Remember your place, boy. I made you. I can break you.
And he could. Thanks to the team of watchers Ben had placed close to Sergei's family's home. He'd taken an afternoon not long after his arrival in the States to show Sergei the satellite photos, some positioned but half a mile from his family's home, others posted in town where his mother shopped and his sisters went to school.
So, we both want the thing. You, I can only imagine, for some kind of ritual that would serve your usual conjuring.
Sergei nodded. It was a guess he could live with.
Or not. What is a man who conjures ghosts and demons, a man who can manipulate the wills of normal humans through the concentration of the other world, want with the skull of Sidon?
I've no desire for riches.
Nor I. I have riches already, but you... Is it power you desire?
No more than I already possess.
Then I am baffled as to your desire for the thing. Yet, I know you will not tell me. Accept that. But must we battle against each other to finally hold the prize? Why not join forces and share the rewards?
The rewards the Skull of Sidon offers would be twisted and vile in your hands, Mr. Ravenscroft. I will not be part of that.
You don't know me at all, Sergei. It saddens me. After all I have done for you and your family, just so. We remain in opposition then, we two. You do realize your victory will see your family destroyed.
Lifting his head to look upon the wicked piece of human flesh, Sergei merely nodded. Then he turned and walked out. He expected to receive a call from Ravenscroft very soon to occupy him, perhaps keep him from pursuing the skull. But he did not. If he had the money, he'd fly to the Ukraine to protect his family. As it was, Ben kept a very tight rein on his bank account. So he'd find the skull, which meant finding that Creed woman. And he'd beat Benjamin Ravenscroft to the prize. Anya woke from a sound sleep.
Someone digging nearby? I don't remember getting to the dig.
Her body slid down the vinyl booth. She slapped her palms on the Formica diner table and dragged herself upright.
No dig, just a weird dream.
Head woozy with sleep, she winced at the pull in her back.
Rise and shine, sweetie.
The waitress who'd served her coffee earlier loitered by the table, hand to one very generous hip.
I fell asleep? Sorry.
Not really. She'd intended to catch a few winks.
No problem, sweetie.
What time is it?
4:45. My shift ends in 15 minutes, so I wanted to give you a heads up. The next gal on duty isn't so keen to let her tables be used as bedrooms.
Anya dug in her pocket, mining for a generous tip.
One more coffee to wake you up.
Maybe I can get some breakfast while you're at it. I promise I won't go back to sleep.
Eggs over easy and a side of bacon?
And pancakes.
With a dollop of whipped cream on top for you, sweetie. Sit tight, I'll be back with coffee.
Dragging a folded wad of bills from her pocket, Anya sorted through the cash. She had enough for breakfast and a great tip. If she intended to keep a low profile, she needed more cash. She wasn't sure how safe home would be now that Sergei had his sights on her.
Does he know someone else is after the skull? That some stranger killed the professor to get his hands on it?
He couldn't possibly know Garin had it. So that made her the bone conjurer's only target. She wondered if he still had pieces of her bone. The notion sent a shiver up her spine. She shook her head. She'd curled up in this booth like a scared little girl, alone with no one to care for her.
Way to go, Creed. Feel sorry for yourself much?
She rubbed both hands over her face, trying to wake up completely.
Man, I must have been tired. Time to think through this rationally. What is going on with the Skull of Sidon?
Dragging a foot across the opposite booth seat, she snagged her backpack and dug out the laptop. She scanned for a wireless network and waited while it searched the area. It nabbed a connection in 20 seconds. The waitress appeared with a pot of coffee. Much to Anya's delight, she set the whole pot on the table.
Your breakfast will be out in 2 licks, sweetie.
Mmm. Now that's some black coffee.
Anya glanced around the dining room. One patron leaned over the counter at the front. He didn't seem concerned by her sudden vocalization. After spiking the black brew with 4 creams from the melamine dish sitting by the condiments rack, Anya started making notes. Sergei wanted the skull. For some sort of bone-conjuring hullabaloo, she probably didn't want too many details on. It would be nasty. Nasty didn't require details. But said Nasty would have to wait, because he currently did not have the skull. On the other hand, Sergei's last words to her promised he'd track her down. That meant big-time Nasty. Anya stared into her coffee, lightened to a rusty shade by the cream.
Bet I could fend him off with this coffee. This stuff could blind a man after a few cups.
She typed Garin Braden's name on the facsimile of a yellow sticky note displayed on the monitor.
Garin has the skull. He knows it's bad news. And it did some kind of mojo on me and the bad guy when he held it.
Anya wondered what exactly all good things implied. Heck, winning the lottery sounded good to most people. Anya glanced out the window. It was snowing again. A nice warm bed and no bruises sounded like a good thing to her right now. It would be a very good thing, from Garin's perspective, to have her out of the picture so he could walk away with the skull.
But then what would he use it for?
He said he didn't want the sword this time. That meant he either wanted something greater only the skull could give him, or he intended to sell it. From what she knew of Garin, the latter was the likeliest. The man did like to make a buck, and not from selling office products or Boy Scout Christmas wreaths. He dealt in arms, art, and other things she didn't want to know about. When opportunity knocked, Garin Braden answered, with pistol in hand and a devious grin.
I'm missing something.
She tapped the tracking pad with a forefinger. She eyed the coffee. A few more sips were needed to clear her fuzzy brain. The thief, Marcus Cook, had gotten the skull somewhere, and when she'd scanned the internet, she hadn't found reference to the skull being found on a recent dig. The last place Garin admitted to seeing it had been in a 15th-century alchemist's lab in Granada, Spain, and then it was supposedly dropped down a well in a small village on the outskirts of Granada. It could have been unearthed centuries ago, or been found in an old chest. It could have been sitting on some librarian's dusty old shelf for a century, the owner completely unaware of what it really was. It could have turned up at a rummage sale as a decorative item. It sounded absurd, but Anya knew that kind of thing happened all the time. It sent her colleagues over the moon to find out a priceless artifact had been purchased for $1.50 at a junk sale on the soccer coach's front lawn. It had no provenance.
Well, that's not true.
Anya typed in the few details she had. She knew it was all conjecture, but it was all she had to go on. Sidon. And after that, Maracleia. And also, necrophilia.
Sex with a dead woman? And the Holy Grail?
It was very easy for an ancient rumor to get attached to an artifact that seemed to fit the bill. If she was going to get behind a Grail legend, she preferred the one that indicated the platter bearing John the Baptist's head to Salome. It had a macabre, romantic twist she enjoyed. Anya was more prone to believe that theory than to take the leap into the supernatural.
Not that you haven't had brushes with the supernatural.
The mysterious party who had hired the thief to get the skull. It could be Benjamin Ravenscroft. Cook must have feared him enough to want to hand it over to Anya. Not that he'd intended to give it to her. He'd merely wanted her to check it out, see if she could identify it. Likely, if she'd decided it was valuable, he'd have turned around and raised his price on the buyer. The buyer might have been Garin Braden. It was all conjecture, but it worked for her. Sergei could have hired Cook. He was the likeliest buyer. But it didn't explain the sniper whom Sergei had no information about. A sniper Garin had killed to protect her.
Looking out for me, even as he's pulling the rug out from under me. Such a swell guy.
That meant Garin knew about the skull well before she'd laid eyes on it. Anya wondered if he'd been tracking Cook or her. That so many people knew her whereabouts at any given time disturbed her.
Time to start looking for new digs. Either that or put a welcome mat with a detonating device at the front door.
Anya eyed the waitress, who headed toward her table with a plate. If the sniper was working for the same man who hired Cook, then shooting the man who held the skull, resulting in his possibly losing the skull somewhere in the Gowanus Canal, didn't make sense. The missing piece. It had slipped under the rug somewhere. Anya typed thief and employer and highlighted both words.
Thanksgiving breakfast. You spending the day with family, sweetie?
Thanks, yes.
Anything else I can get you?
No, thank you.
The steam rising from the eggs tempted like no gold-decorated skull could. Anya forked up bacon and eggs. The waitress looked over her shoulder at her vigorous enjoyment and winked. Anya decided to check her email. A few more from the archaeology list sent ideas to what the skull was. Only one suggested a Templar artifact, but did not link it to the skull of Sidon, as had the previous email.
Pink ribbon girl. The kid was right. Who'd have thought?
She knew Sidon was somewhere in the Middle East. A quick Google search brought up a map.
40 kilometers south of Beirut, the third largest city in Lebanon. Its name means fishery. The city suffered a succession of conquerors.
It listed many, including Alexander the Great. After the Romans, the city was sacked by the Saracens, the Mongols, and the Turks, successively. The French and the Brits took a stab at it as well.
The biblical Jezebel was a Sidonian princess. Interesting.
But none of it helped her quest.
Same as Garin told me. This still means little.
A final email made her pause.
That picture is so sexy, Anya. But I know it's not you. I mean, come on, I've seen this show. And I've seen you in a sweaty t-shirt on that dig in Africa. Not the same size. LOL.
Why won't this go away?
Someone would have to remove the picture for that to happen. And despite her ability to navigate the internet and put up web pages and her own JPEGs, Anya had no idea how to remove something another person had placed online. She wondered again if Doug might have done this. Her producer did have a juvenile sense of humor, and he was known to use deviant means to promote the show. Anya fired off an email to Doug.
Cannot work under these conditions. Please make the naughty picture go away.
He'd likely laugh, then wonder if it really was her body, but knowing she would never pose nude. Either way, he'd take his time considering the picture. Anya knew that much. The last email in the queue was from a Maxfield Wisdom. The email had come from Italy.
I don't know you, Mr. Wisdom, but let's see what you have to say.
The man introduced himself by stating he lived in Venice and had inherited many artifacts of great archaeological value from his great-grandfather, who was a questing adventurer, much like he imagined Anya to be.
Questing adventurer? Sounds a lot better than that other chick who hosts the show.
She read on.
You posted pictures of my skull. Not my skull per se, but one that has been in my family for generations. It was stolen from my home 5 days ago. I'm sure it is the one, because of the gold sutures and the cross detail, and those interior carvings. Are they not unique? I've not seen them clearly, but I've spent hours tracing my finger along the inside. Fascinating. Do you think they mean anything?
She hadn't opportunity to check the interior map Professor Danziger had managed to get before his death. Anya dug in her pocket. The flash drive was safe. She'd finish reading the email before uploading the map.
The skull has been sitting in a dusty box for decades. On occasion, I take it out and describe its arcane legend to visitors, how it is believed to be giver of all good things. I don't believe it myself, Miss Creed. It's never done anything but sit and stare blindly at me. Perhaps it is that I believe I have all good things already.
As did she, really. So if the Holder did not want for anything, felt they had good in their life, then the skull remained quiescent? Interesting idea.
Anyway, the last time I had it out was to show it to a visiting friend, Benjamin Ravenscroft.
Anya leaned forward. Her toast went untouched.
He was fascinated with the legend. I felt a little odd watching him turn the skull over, tracing his fingers along the gold sutures. He's quite the prominent businessman over in your country, or so he told me. But you have the skull now, Miss Creed, and I would be grateful for its return. Of course, I'd graciously allow you to keep it for study as long as you wish. I believe, after noting your vigilant efforts to track its owner online, I can trust you with it. Please instruct me what your plans are for the skull, and we can make arrangements.
Anya settled in the booth, the last pancake on her plate drowning in a pool of syrup.
Huh. Mystery solved.
She clicked open the photos he had attached. Three of them, featuring anterior, lateral, and inferior view.
Well, that's the same skull, all right.
A skull Mr. Wisdom did not call the Skull of Sidon, yet had detailed the same magical powers the legend spoke of. But if it belonged to his family, then she had every intent of returning it to its rightful owner.
If I had the thing...
Scanning through the email again, her eyes stopped at the friend's name.
Benjamin Ravenscroft. Why does your name keep coming up in association with this skull?
It was about time she searched his name. Forbes was the first site to bring up his name. It had just published its famous lists. Benjamin Ravenscroft was number 20 on the top earning CEOs list. His company, Ravenstech, auctioned intangibles and had a huge hand in the burgeoning enterprises in Dubai. Anya was completely out of her element with anything white-collar, Wall Street, or high-tech.
Intangibles?
A click on the CNN site brought up an article published a month earlier about Ravenstech's surprising rise to profitability. The man sold nothing. Or rather, things that could not be held, but only made, designed, or promised for some future creation. Like patents, air, and domain names. The guy started out in college selling airspace to cell phone companies. Each article about Benjamin and Ravenstech also expounded on his charitable contributions. He'd established a foundation for children with bone cancer after his own daughter had been diagnosed. The most recent charity event had been held a month earlier and had raised $3.2 million. Unfortunately, the disease was a nasty one, and doctors predicted it would be many decades before a cure was in sight. Anya scrolled through the search engine listing. They were all the same, listing Ravenscroft as the CEO to watch and extolling his charity work. And yet, he'd had his hands on the skull once when in Venice. Did he hire Marcus Cook? It didn't seem that Sergei did.
Are Sergei and Ravenscroft connected?
If the bone conjurer could summon the dead, maybe he could help a man make millions. Rue had said something about manipulating people and seeing the future. Anya shook her head. Hell, if she was beginning to believe a necrophilic liaison could produce a skull, why not a necromancer providing the ultimate insider stock tips?
Wonder how long Sergei's been in town. I'll have to ask next time we chat.
Anya knew she hadn't seen the last of the necromancer by any means. Neither Sergei nor Benjamin Ravenscroft held the skull right now, and Anya preferred to keep it that way. But the option of Garin Braden holding the skull wasn't desirable either. It belonged to Maxfield Wisdom, and Anya would see it returned to him. 5 minutes later, her plate was clean, and she'd downed another cup of coffee. Anya had a plan.
Manhattan, here I come.
You just don't care anymore, Ben. You didn't even come home last night, and Rachel is not feeling well.
Ben rubbed his temple and considered laying his cheek against the cool desktop. Instead, he propped an elbow and caught his head in a palm as he listened to Linda rage over the phone.
How dare you say I don't care about Rachel?
You don't know the meaning of caring, Ben. Starting a charity means little. You're just doing it for the media exposure. You don't even know what Rachel's T-cell counts were the last time she was at the doctor, do you? Do you?
I'm doing my damnedest, Linda.
Well, it's not enough. I can't do this anymore, Ben. I'm tired. I can't look Rachel in the eye when she asks me when she's going to be better.
Linda, put the whiskey back in the cabinet. It's too early in the morning for that.
Don't tell me what to do. You don't get to tell me what to do since you're not even in this family anymore. I can't do it, Ben.
This had become Linda's script. She'd call him up after she'd had a few drinks, then rail about her inability to cope. He was an asshole for hating her drinking, an even bigger asshole for not being able to rush home, wrap her in his arms, and promise he'd make everything better. Ben didn't know how to make things better that way. He wasn't wired to be compassionate and offer gentle words of reassurance. He only knew how to get a deal done. And he'd be damned if the skull was going to slip through his hands. He would make things right for Rachel, no matter who he had to kill.
You're a bastard, Ben.
The slammed phone surprised him. Nowadays, most people couldn't slam the phone anymore. But Linda insisted on using the landline because she thought cell phones caused cancer. She also thought processed food, plastic, and anything artificial could do the same. Invade your healthy cells and kill you. Rachel's cancer had seeded Linda's paranoia. Now Ben did press his face against the cool desk and stretch his arms out above his head.
I'm trying, Rachel.
The subway car Anya got on was fairly empty except for a young guy, probably early 20s, with blonde dreadlocks that bobbed in time to whatever was coming through his earbuds. He did not look up to acknowledge her. His attention was on a textbook. Anya couldn't see the spine, but it made her smile to see a young man with his head in a book. Across from him sat an elderly woman, head bowed, snoozing. Anya thought perhaps she was homeless for the layers of sweaters that bulged out beneath her tattered jacket. It was early morning, a holiday, so there were no commuters to jockey for position or seats. Before the doors closed, two men rushed on. Each wore a long dark coat and dark sunglasses. Anya shook her head. The Matrix look was so over. The car's gentle rumble lured her to close her eyes, but she didn't. She kept one eye glued on the men in black. She hadn't had much sleep in the diner. What she really wanted to do was go home and crawl between the sheets. Calling Bart to stop by her loft and give it a once-over would not be a bad idea, but she didn't want to upset him. Hell, he already knew about the body in the river, and the body in the university. She smiled. Bart had no idea she was the bearer of Joan of Arc's sword. Telling him something like that might put him over the edge. But he had to wonder about her for the many times she'd called him to help her out of a bind, or to avoid the scene of a crime that may have her fingerprints, or, yes, to let him know how the victim had been murdered because she'd witnessed it firsthand. Bart was the best friend a girl could have. It had been a while since they'd gone out for a round of bar trivia. When they teamed up, no one in the Brooklyn area watering holes could compete. Anya wondered what would happen if they paired for more than that, like dating. Or sex.
Never work. Too risky.
Miss Creed.
A chill zinged up Anya's spine. One man in black sat next to her. The other loomed over her, clinging to the steel pole extending from floor to ceiling. This didn't feel right. She'd learned to trust her intuition. It was rarely wrong. There was the kid at the end of the car, a sleeping woman, and a few stops between here and Manhattan that might admit more riders. She tilted her head to look directly at the one next to her.
Must have seen me on TV, huh? I haven't a pen for autographs.
The man standing before her slid aside his coat to reveal a knife tucked in a shoulder strap under his arm. She couldn't see the blade. Had to be a big one.
We're not here for an autograph.
Anya planted her feet. The man to her right likely also wielded a knife or pistol.
I guessed as much. May I ask who is so interested in me?
He'll tell you when you meet him. He asked us to escort you to his office.
Sergei would come after her himself, she felt sure. So that left Benjamin Ravenscroft. Much as she'd like to meet him, she had no intention of going anywhere with these thugs.
Think I'll pass.
She stood. The man who'd been sitting also stood. Cornered, she looked at the young man down the way. He was oblivious to anything but his tunes. The woman still slept. She was right-handed, but in times like this, ambidextrous was the way to go. Anya thrust out her left hand. She cut across the man in front of her. He grasped a shoulder. Feeling the icy cut of blade across her right forearm, Anya stepped toward the center of the car. The second man approached. His knife glinted with her blood. Tossing the sword to her right hand, Anya swung toward him. He dodged. She backed her spine against a pole. Dropping the sword freed both hands. Gripping the pole near her hip, she lifted her legs and kicked. He stumbled and went sprawling backward against the doors. The other thug had recovered and wasn't about to play stupid. Anya dodged a flying blade. It soared over her head. She followed its trajectory, wincing as it flew just 6 inches before the reading guy's face. That got his attention. He tugged out his earbuds and flashed her wide eyes.
Get to the end of the car!
He nodded and scooped up his book. He left the woman. So long as she stayed asleep, she might be safe. No new passengers entered the train. Grabbed by the shoulder, Anya swung her free arm, but her position was wrong. Elbow connecting with steel, she became twisted about the pole. Fingers gripped her hair. Bright colors flashed behind her left eye. Anya gripped the pole with both hands and kicked. Someone grabbed her ankle and twisted. With a stretch of her neck, Anya could see the book guy had jumped to stand on his seat. His fists were up, but he was acting out of fear. She hoped he'd stay put. A kick to her side forced her stomach against the steel pole. Another stop was coming. Passengers might get on. Time for drastic measures. The thug stumbled backward. The blood spraying the floor told Anya she must have hit an artery. Anya jumped up and put her back to the book guy. The old woman was still sleeping, her head against the window and her lower jaw sagging.
Stay there. I've got things under control.
That's cool with me, girlfriend.
Thug number two charged her, knife in hand. Anya leaped to a bright orange seat and gripped the sword with two hands. Anya followed her swing through, spinning at the waist and drawing the sword low. The tip stopped just below the college kid's neck. A heavy dreadlock bobbed on the blade.
Sorry.
The guy's eyes fluttered. He was ready to faint. Anya gripped him by the jacket and helped him to stand.
Let's get you out of here. People are just plain unfriendly today, don't you think?
She steered him over the fallen thug and shoved him hard to quicken his steps and keep him from looking too closely at the one who bled profusely. A glance to the sleeping woman startled her. She still hadn't moved. Was she dead? Anya knelt on the hard plastic seat next to her. Alcohol fumes wavered off her body, and sure enough, there was a pulse.
Drunk. But good for you, you missed the show.
They wanted to kill you. I'll testify. You don't have to worry about a thing.
Thanks, but I'll be okay.
What happened to your sword?
Sword?
If the kid ever figured out who she was and remembered the sword, things would not go well for her. She lifted the book he clung to.
Anthropology. Great career choice. I love an old pile of bones myself.
Yeah, I want to be like the chick on TV who works with the FBI. Not that I want to be a chick. I mean, I'm a guy.
Anya rubbed a hand across the back of his shoulder. He was scared and shaky.
Why don't you get out of here? I'll take care of calling the cops. Thanks for being so brave.
He nodded and smiled, but the smile faded too quickly.
You're not gonna stay with those guys?
Leave. No.
She gave him a shove. He shuffled off, making a fast line to the stairs, turning once to wave back. Anya tugged out her cell phone.
Bart is gonna have a stroke over this one.
Before Anya could knock, Garin's dark mahogany front door swung open. He was half naked and angry.
Now what?
When he realized she wasn't who he expected, his tense jaw softened and he hooked his arm along the door.
Anya.
Anya had to tear her gaze away from his sculpted abs.
Didn't expect me?
Actually, I did. But sooner. Does it always take you an entire day to retaliate?
I've been plotting my revenge. That kind of thing takes time.
I see. Wouldn't want to go gangbusters. And yet I've seen you go gangbusters before.
I like to mix things up. You gonna give me the third degree here in the hall, or can I come in?
Oh, by all means.
He left her at the door and strode off into the living room. With a peek down the hallway to where his bedroom was located, Anya listened, waiting, wondering when she'd hear the giggle.
I'm alone. Close the door behind you.
Right. So why don't you go put on some clothes and I'll wait in here?
She strolled into the living room, her eyes straying to the window to avoid the real tourist attraction, who stood posing before the couch. Bright sunshine had melted most of the snow they'd gotten over the past 2 days, and it actually felt balmy outside, if you could call 20 degrees balmy. Garin slowly reclined on the couch, stretching his arms behind his head and propping his feet on the coffee table.
Take me or leave me.
I could take you much better if you weren't half naked.
You're a big girl, Anya. Get over it.
Many scars marked his ribs and abs. A particularly thick one dashed right over his heart. She recalled him mentioning he'd once almost been staked as a vampire.
I assume you've come to snatch the skull from me and trundle it off to some dusty old museum.
I see you know the script. You could save me the trouble and simply hand it over.
Can't do that.
Anya gripped her fingers about the semblance of the sword's hilt, but didn't summon it to reality.
Didn't think so.
Oh, don't even bother. On the other hand, if you want to show me your pretty weapon, I'd like to take a look.
Not sure there's room on you for another scar.
Oh, you wouldn't get that close, sweetie. Trust me.
I can throw the thing and stab you.
Really? Then would it disappear if I tried to pry it from my heart?
I think so. But hey, if you want me to give it a go, we can both learn the answer to that one.
I don't have the skull, Anya. See this?
He tapped the edge of his jaw. Anya noticed the bruise now. Funny she hadn't seen that right away. The six-pack abs shouldn't have been that much of a distraction.
So does that mean Sergei has it now? Or did you sell it to the highest bidder?
Nada on the Ukrainian. Thought the guy had eaten you for breakfast.
No, but the man in the warehouse was eager to take a bite. You are the sweetest man. Have I ever told you that? Tricking me into helping you track the skull, then abandoning me to the dogs when push comes to shove.
I couldn't trick you if I tried. You're smarter than that.
You could have killed me. You have no idea about the power of the skull. And you had just finished telling me how it had killed dozens of people the first time you held it. Bastard.
I knew it wouldn't kill you.
Impossible.
Intuition.
Liar.
Anya, I don't want you dead.
Yeah? So what then? Only slightly maimed?
You want an apology?
No. It could never be genuine. So who's got the skull?
Rue.
What? How the... He's in town?
You didn't know? Oh, here I thought he took up with you. So the man is working by himself. Clever. Should have expected as much from him. I am sorry, but you don't look the worse for wear.
Seriously? Dozens of 2x4s fell on my head and body. I bet I've got bruises bigger than yours. My wrist still hurts. And some goons tried to fillet me on the subway as I was coming here.
Classic Anya Creed. Hey, you're bleeding.
Anya looked down at her forearm where the knife blade had skimmed her. Her blue shirt was stained with her blood, but it was dried.
That's the second time in 2 days someone has tried to take me out and missed. It's just a flesh wound. I'm fine.
Come with me.
He gestured for her to follow, but Anya remained where she was. His back view was spectacular. He noticed she was not following and turned.
No tricks. Promise. At least let me dab on some alcohol and bandage it. You wouldn't want it to get infected. Come on, Anya. Even mystical sword-wielding heroines need medical attention every once in a while.
Do we have to?
Judging from the blood staining your sleeve, I think we do.
The bathroom off Garin's bedroom was the size of Anya's entire loft. Marble floors, walls, and a huge walk-in glass-tiled shower gleamed. The tub and toilet were black. Very macho. Doorknobs, drawer handles, and faucets glittered, and she wasn't sure, but they could be real gold. It was an embarrassment of wealth, but it fit Garin Braden to a T.
You going to take off your shirt?
Not in your lifetime.
Sitting on the edge of the black clawfoot bathtub, Anya rolled up her sleeve. Garin dabbed the knife wound with a moist cloth.
That's a hell of a long time.
As far as you know. Do you have any proof your immortality wasn't stolen when the sword was put back together? You could be dead tomorrow.
Come now, Anya. Would you wish that on me?
No, probably not. Maybe. No. Ouch!
That's more than a skim. You should have stitches.
No emergency room. I'm a big girl.
Yes? But do you possess the powers of instant healing?
Do you?
Not instant by a long shot, but faster than the average man. I've got some medical tape in the cabinet. Don't move.
Anya hung her head and stared at her dirty boots. It seemed a sacrilege, sitting in this pristine room in her dirty clothes. It was also wrong to be sitting in the enemy's lair. Garin was the enemy. He'd proved that time and again. And yet, she couldn't resist the offer of kindness, no matter how forced she suspected it must be.
What girl could?
It annoyed her that she wasn't able to just up and leave. Because when Garin wasn't backstabbing her, he was romancing her in a weird kind of friendly come-on that intrigued her immensely.
So, what did you find on me when you were snooping yesterday?
Nothing of interest. I was looking for clues to why you'd want the skull.
Why not just ask?
I did. You gave me the runaround.
Garin bent before her.
Think we'll ever come to an agreement?
Men were so male. No matter their shape, height, or penchant toward fisticuffs or bookish avoidance, Anya did like them. She needed to consider making time for dating once in a while, just so she didn't forget the easy comfort of a man's presence. And sex. Nothing wrong with sex. But not with this man. Garin's muscled body blocked the light, and Anya did not look up because that would put her eye level to his bare pecs.
Do you want that? Peace between us?
Not sure. It's amusing, the clash of wills and the quest for things we don't have and perhaps never will have, don't you think?
Depends on who's getting hurt in the process.
Now she did allow a look over his stomach. Her gaze landed on his hip.
That one's huge.
Why, thank you.
You know I'm not looking that low. That scar, how'd you get it?
He tilted his torso, which tugged at the white flesh as thick as a nightcrawler that crossed from his side to the center of his chest.
Almost lost my spleen that time. Not that I knew what a spleen was back then. It was one of many adventures Rue and I barely escaped by the skin of our teeth. Ah, good times.
Resisting the urge to touch the scar, Anya nodded. The man might like to extol the many ways he despised Rue, but when he spoke of their adventures, reverence and respect colored his voice. They were alike. In fact, the only two of their kind in this world. They needed each other more than they would ever admit.
You must have been laid out a while from that one.
A couple of days. You can't imagine my wonder in those early days after Joan's death over my own ability to survive what should have been fatal wounds. Rue and I hadn't yet figured out we were immortal. That would take surviving the entire 15th century before we finally wrapped our brains around that reality.
I suppose when one gains immortality, it is a wacky sort of surprise.
Exactly. Wacky. But good, you know?
I don't know. Don't think I would ever take immortality if it was offered.
Oh, you would, Anya.
Anya was sure she wouldn't. But she'd allow Garin the fantasy of being right this time. Skeptic that she was, she still found it hard to wrap her head around living 500 years. It would be a gift. It would be a nightmare. She was perfectly happy with 8 or 9 decades, thank you very much.
You really don't want it for yourself? The skull, I mean.
Nope.
Then you intend to sell it.
Assumption.
But correct.
Anya, would you believe I think the thing needs to be dropped down another well, and this time covered over with 30 feet of cement?
Not sure. Gotta think that one over.
You do that.
Garin's fingers tugged at the wound as he placed the tape over it. The smell of antiseptic cut through her brain, and in its wake, Garin's aftershave wavered. The spicy scent curled her toes.
You can touch.
What?
You've been eyeing my abs since you walked in, sweetheart. Go ahead, touch. I won't break.
Anya paced over to the vanity, hand to her hip.
That's it. You said Rue has it? Where's he staying?
Garin dropped a wad of bloodied gauze into the sink.
Haven't a clue. Would you like to join me for lunch? Griggs is preparing haddock and asparagus.
Food sounded divine, and Anya knew Griggs was an amazing chef from previous meals. But she'd had breakfast, and she'd had enough of Garin.
Nope, I'm finished with you.
She marched from the room, making damn sure she didn't call out any apologies for her abrupt departure or thank him for the medical attention. Women could be like that sometimes, worried about offending someone or acting aggressively. She wasn't like most women. Garin knew that. He probably enjoyed their little tete-a-tetes just as much as she did.
You say the skull isn't in hand. How can I trust you even know where it is?
That the caller had gotten his number disturbed him, but he wasn't about to admit that. He'd said his name was Braden, that's all. Ben didn't know if that was a first or last name.
My associate has it. She's a professional when it comes to handling artifacts.
Anya Creed's image popped into Ben's mind. He couldn't imagine he could be so lucky to be pulled back into the search for the skull with a simple phone call. But he wasn't willing to shell out the amount of money Braden was asking for. $500,000 wasn't chump change. And Ben felt sure he could get the thing for nothing now he knew that Anya Creed held it.
I'm interested.
Great. I've got another bidder who wishes the opportunity to match bids.
I'll go as high as is necessary.
That wasn't true, but Braden didn't have to know that.
I'll be in contact soon, Mr. Ravenscroft.
Sergei returned to the warehouse where Anya Creed and the man he did not know had been with the Skull of Sidon. The police had arrested the man. He'd been working for Harris, which meant he was one of Ravenscroft's employees. He had to track the skull before Ben got to it. He hadn't been able to track Creed from the warehouse, and she hadn't returned to her loft. He'd headed home to obtain his supplies. This setback was not acceptable. To be safe, he'd left his cell phone in the car. The frequency of Ben's calls of late were bad for Sergei's concentration. The man suspected something, but Ben could not possibly know why Sergei sought the skull. Yet he hadn't anticipated Anya Creed. She was an archaeologist. Sergei couldn't figure what stake she had in obtaining the skull, unless she also sold artifacts to finance. Sergei did not know. Her loft had been nice enough, but far from richly furnished. The woman must make money from her television appearances.
Why would she need to sell artifacts?
Unless she had a drug habit, or an expensive vice Sergei could not know about. The woman appeared to be in control of her faculties.
No, not drugs.
The extreme scent of cut wood overwhelmed the latent tendrils of arsenic likely used to preserve the wood. There were many footprints in the sawdust on the floor. Difficult to determine a specific track, or if one might be a woman's footprint. Sergei wandered about until he found an upset tangle of 2x4s and what looked like signs of struggle. Attuned to the world and the energies left behind by its inhabitants, he sensed the lingering whisper of power.
Hmm.
The skull had been in this warehouse. He knew it. He knelt and emptied his pockets onto one of the boards. He didn't have the proper substance to mark a circle, but in a pinch, anything would do. Shuffling up some sawdust, he then leaned over the small pile and spread it out evenly over the concrete floor. With his forefinger, he drew a circle large enough to sit inside. He tapped the vial of bone powder remaining from the sample he'd taken from Anya Creed out onto the board, spreading it into a fine circle with a fingertip. Picking up a lighter from the contents of his pocket, he waved the flame over the crushed bone fragments until the bits began to smolder. Leaning over the smoking bone, Sergei drew in the scent. He must focus to connect. The souls he could contact would read the bone and tell him all he required to track Creed. An icy trickle scurried down his forearm. Touched by the other world, a presence had arrived. His mind fuzzed over with the scent of burned bone. This wasn't right. Something had brought him out from the trance. Sergei winced as another twinge attacked his temple.
The souls. Have I asked too much? Oh, damn it.
He fought to lean over the smoking bone, to concentrate on drawing in the essence. But the summons would only increase until it became unbearable. The spirits no longer wished to communicate about Anya Creed. Interesting. It was as if they held back information about her, or did not deem him worthy of knowing. Sergei returned to his car and slid inside, but didn't start the engine.
We need to talk.
Sergei stood in the center of Ben's office. Ravenscroft strode before him. He'd removed the pinstripe suit coat and rolled up his crisp white shirt sleeves to reveal tanned forearms. The diamond Rolex must have put him out tens of thousands of dollars, likely thanks to Sergei's conjuring.
It's not working, Sergei. We're both going after something the other wants, and neither is having much luck in nabbing it. We really do need to join forces.
Why do you want this skull when you can have all that you wish through my summonings?
Sergei, you surprise me. You've refused me the only desire that means anything to me.
I've told you I do not have the power to give or take life.
Ben's fingers curled into fists.
She's already alive. You simply need to ensure that she remains that way.
Sergei had gone home that day and attempted to channel the spirits to ask for the girl's life. It wasn't so simple as that. The disease had come from the chemicals man put into this world. The spirit world could no more stop her death than medical science could.
I am yours to command. You know the nature of the hold you have on me. Ask me for anything but life and death.
You bastard!
Ben lunged and punched him in the chest. Sergei allowed the man to beat upon him. His punches were ineffectual and hurt his pride more than his flesh and bone. He could not move away. He would not. The dark demons inside Benjamin Ravenscroft needed an outlet.
What's wrong with you? Fight, you coward!
Ben stalked off, rubbing his bruised fists. He leaned over the desk, snatching the burning cigarette and taking a drag from it. The scent of cloves infused the air.
I merely wish my freedom, Mr. Ravenscroft.
Freedom? Is that what you believe the skull will give you? You don't like working for me, Sergei?
I do not like the results of our association. Your heart is black.
My heart? My heart? You are the necromancer. You dally with the dead souls every day.
It is not a black magic unless the conjurer makes it so.
Really? So I'm to blame? Always someone else's fault. It's my fault Rachel's sick, you know. My wife blames me. Me? How is that possible? I only lost sight of her for a few minutes that day in the park. Getting lost does not induce cancer. It's not fair. It's just... not fair.
In the time of their association, Ben's family had suffered from his misdirected greed. While Sergei knew the girl's disease was not caused by her father's neglect, he was aware of Ben's affair with the secretary. No man should treat his wife so cruelly. Karma had a way of slapping the most deserving. Sergei had compassion for the Ravenscroft family, but not so much for Ben.
Very well. I've got a bargain for you. Your freedom for my daughter's life.
That is impossible. I have already explained.
Listen, necromancer. The skull is yours after I've had my go at it. I get my daughter's life, then you can have your freedom. You just need to put the skull into my hands.
The man's logic was fractured. If Sergei got to the point where he could put the skull into Ben's hands, there was no way in hell it would happen. He'd be long gone from New York City before then.
You double-cross me, your family dies.
Sergei had no doubt a phone call is all it would take. Cruelly, likely gunned down in front of one another.
I must have more than your word.
But you do. You, Sergei, have my truths. If I try to swindle the prize from you, then you can go to the media and tell them all about Ben Ravenscroft's dealings with the spirit world to get where he is today.
That would go over like a lead balloon. Sergei could see himself being wrangled into a straitjacket and carted off while Ben stood atop his marble empire, laughing all the way to hell. No one knew the skull's true power. It gave all good things. That covered quite a lot of ground. And he felt sure the skull of Sidon, unlike him, had the power to give and take life.
You're thinking too much, Sergei. Take the deal. I only want that one thing. You've already put me on the top. Where else have I to go? The hottest young CEO in New York City. No one can touch me. I've got the world at my fingertips.
At the sacrifice of your family.
Worry about your own family, man.
Sergei tried to move away. He could not. It stunned him. Ben's grip did not relent.
We work together, then.
Good. So where's the woman, Anya Creed? She's our target. You have a fix on her?
I know where she lives.
Excellent. We'll search her place.
I've already done so. She doesn't have the skull. There's another man who has obtained it. I don't know who he is.
But he knows Creed.
I believe so, yes.
Then that's where we start. Take me to her.
Very well, Mr. Ravenscroft.
Just so you know, I've got a contact who checks in with me on the hour. If I do not respond, your family is dead.
Anya walked through her front door. This time, she was not surprised it was open.
Hello?
A dark-haired man popped his head out from the kitchen. He set the open box of cereal on the table behind him and offered her a smile. Stepping carefully over a toppled pile of research books, he waved dismissively at the sword.
Your housekeeping skills leave much to be desired, Miss Creed. You won't need that. I come in peace.
I've heard that line before.
A fashionable 5 o'clock shadow stubbled his jaw. His dark complexion was probably a tan. Gold and diamonds flickered at his cuffs and fingers. He wasn't ugly or villainous. Rather attractive, more so than his pictures online. She could sense he wielded charm as a means to get what he wanted.
Why has my home become the revolving meeting place for thugs of America?
Oh, that's rich. And really, I must protest. I'm not a thug. Sergei showed me here.
The guy is giving tours of my home? I gotta get a new profession.
I'm Benjamin Ravenscroft.
I know.
Sergei had lured the most elusive member of her gang of skull chasers right to her. Ravenscroft didn't appear too threatening. The business suit he wore must have set him back a few G's. And she'd bet that was a manicure. He smelled expensive and looked as though he'd just stepped off the cover of a business magazine. But Anya wouldn't let down her guard.
We need to talk.
Let me guess. You and Sergei are working together?
In essence.
Didn't sound like he was on your side when I last spoke to him.
We work together on various levels. We've recently joined forces on a pressing matter. Do sit down. And please set the sword aside. Nice. Don't often see women wielding swords in New York, unless it's in the theater district. Hey, I caught your show the other night. It was the Transylvania one. I sure as hell hope they pay you for that nonsense.
If you're trying to score points with me, you're failing miserably.
I like you. You fascinate me, Miss Creed.
Can we cut the small talk? What do you want?
You know what I want.
Haven't got it.
But you know who has it. I spoke to him earlier. A friend named Braden has been in touch with me.
That information didn't surprise Anya as much as she thought it should. It was further proof Garin was in this one for the money, and obviously tracking the highest bidder.
Whatever he says he has, he doesn't.
For some reason, I believe you. I'm disappointed, then. I had thought the man was at least telling the truth about his associate having the skull. That associate, I assumed, being you.
Why do you want the skull?
It has the power of God, yes?
I haven't heard it phrased in quite those terms, but I suppose one could say that. I've come to learn most villains won't waste their time for anything less than godlike power.
Villain? Anya, you hardly know me, and yet you label me so viciously.
Yeah, well, if the shoe fits.
Anya glanced at his leather loafers. She couldn't even make a guess how much they'd cost.
Such power could come in handy. Haven't you ever wondered what you would want if granted all good things?
Nope, not going there. Seems like your life is going well enough to judge from the magazine articles touting your riches and philanthropy. As well, you employ a necromancer to see you get anything you desire. So I don't get it. Why do you want more power?
You have family, Anya?
No.
Some don't. It happens. But it also leads me to believe you'd never understand my motives. I'm not going to get into the greater meaning behind my quest with you. Especially when you've still got that sword.
Girl's gotta protect herself.
I'll grant you that. Perhaps I need to stick around while you wait to meet with Maxfield Wisdom.
Anya was sick and tired of having her private affairs and property trespassed on. She swung the sword and tapped him roughly under the chin with the flat side of the steel.
Get out of my home, Ravenscroft.
You're not gonna kill me.
No, but I am in the mood to poke someone. Do you have any idea how many times my home has been broken into lately?
I'm only aware of myself and Sergei visiting.
Visiting? Leave, or I'm calling the cops. I have a direct line to a detective who can be here in minutes. Are you willing to have me introduce the two of you?
No need to involve the police. I don't need to be here to keep tabs on you. And I'm guessing my resources for obtaining the prize are greater than yours. Good day, Miss Creed. It was a genuine pleasure to meet a celebrity of your stature.
Anya clasped the sword with both hands and whisked it through the air.
You might have the resources, Ravenscroft, but you don't have the skull.
A few more swishes of blades served to slice the steam from her tension. It had been weeks since Anya had practiced the swordplay exercises Rue had taught her. Confidence arrived when the hilt fit into her grip. She knew how to lunge, thrust, riposte, dodge, and down and dirty go for the arteries with it.
Back so soon?
Sword in hand, she opened the door.
Oh.
Well, I am happy to see you too.
Anya realized she stood, elbow up and blade angled in preparation to chop Rue's head off. She smiled sheepishly and lowered the sword.
Come on in.
Rue swept by her imperiously. Once inside, he turned and regarded her with one copious white eyebrow raised. Anya thrust out her right arm, opening her fingers with dramatic flair.
That never ceases to amaze me.
Garin said the two of you had a grand reunion.
Always a pleasure to spend time with the man.
Liar.
Yes, well.
Rue turned his head to reveal a dash of red through his brilliant white hair. Forgetting her need to remain distant, Anya touched the wound just above his ear.
Is that blood?
From a bullet.
Garin tried to kill you?
You say that with such surprise when you know it's not the first time. No, he just wanted to piss me off. He succeeded.
Let me take care of it.
It's an abrasion. I've already cleaned it.
I thought you liked it when women fussed over you.
Oh, certainly. It is a pleasure one mustn't refuse. But I suggest we hold this conversation elsewhere.
She followed his gesture. A small camera LED blinked in the corner, above the curtain rod. Not something she had put there.
There's one in the hallway, too. To judge from your surprise, I assume that's not your security system?
What security system? I need to have a conversation with my landlord. He'll obviously let anyone into the building.
Anya popped the camera out from the wall and let it drop to the floor, which didn't break the hard black plastic shell. The LED blinked no more. She picked up her backpack and wearily gestured toward the door.
Come on. I'll sweep the hallway and stairwell on the way down.